Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you all this morning. I'm just going to give a brief introduction of myself because I don't think I've been at Christ the King for about 12 or 15 years. And then a brief introduction of our scripture passage, then I'll read it and then we'll dive in. Fair enough? It's a pleasure to be with you all on this beautiful spring morning in the season of Easter. As I said, my name is Chris. I live 2 miles north, just go up Manchac and take a left on Jones Road, and you're at my house. My wife, Jennifer, is sorry she couldn't be here today. We typically attend church at All Saints Presbyterian, and my wife is serving in the nursery today. We have 5 grown adult children, and you're going to be hearing a lot about them today. I hope you like family illustrations and hearing about children, because that's a lot of what you'll hear today. I have been ordained in the PCA since 2009. I had served a time before being ordained along with Danny Sheffield at the Mother Church of Christ the King, Redeemer Presbyterian Church. I've been doing different nonprofit ministries in town, including most recently Young Life here in Austin ISD, and then just moved over last year to be the executive director of Austin Bridge Builders Alliance. So it's a privilege to be with you today to worship the risen Lord and to share his word with you. Today, if you'd like to read along, we'll be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the very beginning of the letter. Just a little bit of background on 2 Corinthians. This is the second letter we have of Paul to the church in Corinth in the Bible, but actually scholars believe there was another letter. You see, after Paul had established the church, visited the Corinthians, he heard about some problems, and he went back to visit, and many scholars call it a sorrowful visit, a tearful visit, when Paul addressed the problems in the congregation, and then he sent them a sorrowful letter, not 1 or 2 Corinthians, and after that, Paul had plans to go back and visit his beloved church in Corinth, but he was on his way back, but he sent Titus, his friend, to visit. And then Titus visited the Corinthians, and they had repented. And so Titus came back and told Paul, the Corinthians have repented, and Paul was filled with joy. He was comforted because the Corinthians responded and turned back to the Lord. And so in response to that, the Apostle Paul writes 2 Corinthians. So that's the scene. As we dive in today, Paul had received comfort because the Corinthians had repented. Today we'll read 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm just going to go ahead and start at verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. you also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessings granted to us through the prayers of many. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord God, we do pray that you would comfort us today. Whatever affliction, whatever suffering we face, show us that we have comfort and deliverance through Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. It was bedtime, usually a time of peace, but the Fisher household was in upheaval. There was a lot of sorrow and uncertainty because our youngest son, Andrew, couldn't find Chickie. You see, Chickie was his constant companion when Andrew was a little boy. Now he's 6'5", 230 pounds, but then he was just a little guy, about 3 or 4 years old, and without Chickie, there was no rest. Without Chickie, there was no comfort. Those of you who are children or have children maybe can relate. We have 5 children, and they each had someone or something to comfort them. We had a Passy or a Binky. We had Baby Doll. We had Edu, the pink elephant. We had Deebee, the blue blanket. And of course, we had Chickie. And there was no comfort or peace in the Fisher household that night because we couldn't find Chickie. All of us can relate, right? If we're young, we can relate to needing someone or something to comfort us, especially as we face the dark night alone. But even as you get older, if we're honest with ourselves and look at our own lives, the pressure from outside, from our work, from circumstances in our lives and in the world, the pressure from within, the suffering and the pain only grows, doesn't it? We too need comfort, whether we're 7 or we're 70 or somewhere in between. We all need comfort. I want to ask you today, what is your binky? What is your pacifier? Where do you turn for comfort? For some of us, we turn to alcohol and other substances. I won't tell you how many margaritas I had yesterday watching the Kentucky Derby, by the way. And some of us deal with our stress and suffering through escape. Do we suffer at home? What do? We stay at work. Do we suffer at work? We call in sick. Some of us turn to release, to exercise, to sex, to other things to give us temporary relief from our anxiety and our suffering. I can tell you that we're not that unlike the Corinthians. I love teaching and preaching out of 1st and 2nd Corinthians because I haven't found a group that seems more similar to Austinites. You see, the Corinthians struggled with turning to other things for comfort as well. They were very wealthy for the most part. They were very successful. They turned to their own wealth and success, their own clout and status to give them identity and comfort. You see, the things that I mentioned, work, sex, even alcohol, exercise, these are all good things, aren't they? The problem is when we turn to them for our ultimate comfort, when we look to other things for our identity, that's where we get off track. But the good news that Paul wants the Corinthians and us to hear today is that because God raised Jesus from the dead, we have comfort and deliverance. This is the hope of the Easter season. You see here in the 5 verses, between verse 3 and verse 7, Paul uses the word comfort 10 times. And this sets the theme for his prayer, which this is a prayer for the Corinthians. It sets the scene for this passage, and it sets the theme for the entire letter of 2 Corinthians. The Greek word for comfort here may be familiar to you, even if you're not Greek scholars. It's parakaleo. Sounds like paraclete. It's the same word that Jesus uses for the Holy Spirit. What is parakaleo? What is the comfort that the Apostle Paul is speaking of. Comfort means encouragement. Comfort means hospitality. Come into my home. Comfort means to draw near. Comfort means Emmanuel, God with us. Comfort is the divine hug with the arms and hands of Jesus Christ, fully embracing your body and your heart and drawing you near to say, it's going to be okay. This is the reason why one of my jobs, I forgot to mention, for 4 years I was the director of City School, and we had a school song. And it was taken from Isaiah 40 that was read to you earlier. Comfort, comfort these my people. We would sing it every day without fail. And sometimes parents would come to me and say, Chris, why do we sing that song? Why do we sing an Advent song year round? Why do we sing the same song every day? And it's the reason why Paul says this to the Corinthians. Because from the youngest preschooler to the oldest parent or grandparent, we need to know that we can find comfort through Jesus Christ. How does Jesus' cross and resurrection give us hope this Easter season? We'll see that Jesus gives us comfort and Jesus gives us deliverance. First, let's look at verses 3-7. Jesus comforts us. How does he give comfort? Here we'll see the good news, the bad news, and then the good news. Jesus comforts us at all times, but the bad news is he only comforts us in the face of affliction. We have to be suffering and go through affliction and pain in order to turn to him for comfort. Listen to what Paul says in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. Listen to what Paul says. The very nature and character of God is to be who? The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. That is who God is. That is God's name to us. That is how God reveals himself to us from the earliest of time, from the earliest of Scripture. Remember when Moses asked to see God's face in Exodus 34, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed his name. What was the name that Yahweh, the Creator God, the Redeemer God, gave to Moses? The compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and mercy. This is God to us, the God who shows us that he is the God of comfort. On Friday, I had the privilege of speaking to my friend Paulette. And Paulette was born in the West African nation of Angola. And her parents had raised her and her siblings in the church. And Paulette was sharing her testimony with me. And she said, now a 19-year-old college student, she said, my parents would always take me to church. They would always make us memorize scripture. And they would always tell us, I want you to know God, because someday we as your parents won't be here for you. Someday you'll have to turn to God and rely on him for comfort. Well, unfortunately or fortunately for Paulette, that time came early in her life because her parents also made the decision to leave war-torn Angola to come to the United States. They went to Europe and then they ended up in Panama. And Paulette was 12 years old and somehow she became separated from her parents in a jungle in Panama. She was all alone. She said, Chris, for the first day, I sat under a tree and cried and cried and cried. I cried myself to sleep. And then when I woke up on the second day, I remembered what my mom and my dad had told me, that someday you will need God because we won't be here. And she said, I turned to the Lord. And the Lord comforted her, and she began looking for her parents. She found people, and after 4 more days, she was reunited to her parents. You see, the good news is that God is committed to comforting us. The bad news is we have to go through affliction and suffering to cry out to Him for comfort. Why does God give comfort? Paul makes it very clear that He gives us comfort so that we can comfort one another. Look with me at verses 4 and 5. God who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. You see, God comforts us so that we can be equipped to comfort one another. As Tim Keller says, Christianity teaches us that suffering is real and meaningful. There's a purpose to our suffering. That if faced rightly in relationship to God and His people, suffering can drive us like a nail deep into the love of God in Christ. And as we turn to Him for comfort in our suffering, as the Apostle Paul says, we are equipped to turn to others and give comfort in their suffering. Just as many of the prayers that you all just shared, there are many among us that are suffering. Thanks be to God that as He has comforted you, you are equipped to comfort others. I was telling many of you earlier that our second daughter, Abby, is about to get married. She'll get married on the 24th. And I'm looking forward to being the father of the bride. We were practicing our father-daughter dance on Friday. And my daughter is a picture of being comforted and then being equipped to comfort others. Because right now, Abby is in nursing school in San Antonio. She spent the last 3 years working at St. David's here just down the street, and now she's working at a hospital in San Antonio. And when Abby was born, she was born with a birth defect called fibular hemimelia, where she didn't have a fibula bone in her right leg. And so her leg was malformed, her joints were malformed, she only had 4 toes on her foot was all messed up, her leg was a lot shorter. And so at age 7, after consulting many doctors, we decided to have her foot amputated, and she's had a prosthetic leg since age 7. And growing up with a prosthetic leg, going to Westlake High School, I can tell you it wasn't easy. But I can tell you that sometime in her junior year of high school, she turned to the Lord and God comforted her. And as she grew through high school and into college, As she was experiencing physical therapy and the care of the prosthetist and the doctor, she realized, God has given me healing and comfort. I am equipped better than anyone to comfort others. And that launched her on her journey to nursing school, where she can comfort others. You see, the good news is that when we suffer, we can turn to Jesus for comfort. For what is Jesus' name? He is the great physician, isn't He? The hard part about Jesus' ministry as the great physician is the diagnosis, isn't it? We have to go through the diagnosis. Nobody likes to go to the doctor, do they? I know I haven't been in a couple of years. Why? Because I'm afraid of what the doctor will tell me, right? You're sick. You're in pain. This is what's wrong. But the good news is Jesus, the great physician, not only tells us what's wrong, He gives us healing, doesn't He? He solves the problem for us on the cross. That is the message of Easter. He forgives all of our sins and heals all of our diseases. The good news about Jesus, the great physician, is He doesn't make you wait in a waiting room. This physician does house calls. Remember Parakaleo? He comes near. God with us. He doesn't just stand in his white coat and read off a chart. No, he gets down and he hugs us and he does the operating himself and he heals us and gives us life through faith in him. And that's the final point about comfort. Why does God give affliction? You know, that's a question many of us have. Why does God allow pain and suffering? And the Apostle Paul partially answers that here. Because if it wasn't for suffering and affliction, none of us would turn to the Lord for salvation. Listen to what he says in verses 6 and 7. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Did you hear what he said in verse 6? If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. You see, Paul suffered many things so that the Corinthians could hear the good news of Jesus Christ and be saved. As N.T. Wright said in his commentary for everyone on 2 Corinthians, that the heart of the gospel is what is true of the Messiah becomes true of us, his people. Jesus himself suffered on the cross. Jesus was in the tomb and was risen again. Jesus says to us, what? Not take your pacifier, not take your blanket, take up your cross, suffer and follow me, and you too will be saved. And God will use your sufferings to bring salvation to those around you. Why does God allow suffering and affliction? Perhaps you've asked this question before. Perhaps you're asking it today. The good news is that he allows it for your and our deliverance. If you're experiencing an abundance of suffering today, I'm sorry. No one should suffer. But in this side of the fall, we know that we all suffer. My prayer for you is the same as the Apostle Paul's prayer for the Corinthians, that you would have great comfort, that you would turn to the Lord and experience salvation in the face of your affliction. Easter gives us comfort. As we continue on in this passage, it also assures us of deliverance. What the Apostle Paul says here in verses 8 through 10 is that we can trust in the Lord because he has delivered us in the past. He will deliver us today. And because of those things, he will deliver us in the future. First, the Lord has delivered us in the past. Verse 8, for we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. You see, Paul is sharing a bit of his affliction. And when I read this passage, I thought, what was the affliction that Paul faced in Asia? And he doesn't say here. The point is not the what of the affliction. What Paul is pointing the Corinthians and us to is the result of the affliction. You see, Paul speaks of it in the past tense, and God had delivered he and his companions through the affliction. So the application for us today is to remember how God delivered you from affliction in the past. Remember when you turned to the Lord, when he called you by name and you put your faith in him. For me, it happened just about 6 miles up the road at Jester Dormitory at the University of Texas. You see, in high school and growing up, I proved to God that I couldn't save myself based on my own goodness and righteousness. So when I went to college, I decided to go the other way and prove that I needed salvation because I was such a terrible sinner. But thanks be to God, the great physician drew near to me as I sat on my dorm room and read Romans. And it said, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but are justified freely by his grace that is in Christ Jesus." You see, through his word, the Lord delivered me the diagnosis, but he also delivered to me the prescription and the cure, to trust in the work of Jesus Christ and his life and his death for me. Remember how God has delivered you in the past, and that will encourage you that he can deliver you now. Paul goes on in verse 9 and says this, "Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." What an amazing Easter passage. What Paul is saying is the night was so dark, the burden was so heavy, the sentence of death was lying over our head. Why, God, would you allow this? So we see that we cannot lift the burden on our own. So we see that we can't just flick on the light switch and make all the darkness and sorrow go away. No, so that we had to turn and rely on God, the only one who can deliver us from death. I pray that in your sufferings now, whatever they are, you would turn to Jesus, who has conquered the grave, who gives you life in replace of death. Because the Lord has delivered us in the past, he has the power to deliver us today. And finally, it gives us hope, the hope of Easter, that he can and will deliver us in the future, in this life and for eternity. Listen to verse 10. "He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again." We can trust in God to deliver us. The God who draws near. The Lord Jesus has ascended into heaven, as he tells us in John 14, to prepare a place for us. And he will come and bring us to himself. More than that, in John 16, he tells his disciples, "It is better for you that I go away." Why? Because I will send the Paraclete, the Comforter, the Helper, not only to live among you, but to live inside you, to assure you of this living hope that is yours through faith in Christ Jesus for now and for eternity. If you trust in Jesus, he has comforted you. If you trust in Jesus, he has delivered you, and he will deliver you again. So what should we do? Thankfully, Paul gives us the application as we close in verse 11. Listen to what he says. "You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted to us through the prayers of many." What Paul says is we should give thanks and pray. He says, "You pray for us so that many will give thanks for us for the blessings given to us through the prayers of many." The way I like to think about the relationship of prayer and thanksgiving is another game that was popular at City School, which is tetherball. Have you ever played tetherball? I can't tell you how many times I watched not two people, which the game is designed for, but one child play tetherball on the playground. They would hit the ball, and the ball would spin around the pole, and the string would get shorter and shorter, and the ball would ascend to the top, and then they would do it all over again. The way I think of our prayers is the hitting of the ball. And as we hit the ball ascends up to the sky, and that is our thanksgiving and praise to God. If you're not an athlete, if you're a scientist, think about it as DNA, the double helix of prayer and thanksgiving, which is our very life. What should we do? Number one, are you afflicted? Are you afflicted today? Pray to Jesus. Consider praying the Psalms. You see a lot of pain and affliction there, and God will deliver you. Are you suffering? Look to the cross. Know that Jesus has suffered for you and paid for all of your sins. Have you been comforted and delivered? Thank God he has equipped you to comfort your neighbor as well. And in all things, give thanks. Thanksgiving is a sign of the way things should and will be when Christ returns. There is no wasted suffering in the Christian life. Cry out to God and he will comfort you. He will deliver you today as he has in the past, and he will deliver you and live with you for eternity. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the God of all comfort. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you draw near to us. You took on flesh to dwell among us, and you gave up your life on the cross so that we could be forgiven and we could be comforted. Holy Spirit, draw near to us now. Comfort us in our affliction and give us the courage to reach out and comfort those around us who are in need of comfort. Help us today, we pray, in your name. Amen.